Every once in a while, I think Christians sometimes forget who they are or what they're about, or kind of get a little confused about what's going on. In Kentucky, there is a privately owned resort that has a life-size Noah's Ark replica there. Made big news when it first opened a few years ago. And you can go and take tours and learn about Noah's Ark and see the size and see the animal mock-ups and so forth. It's supposed to be quite the event. I would never go because I'm not about to spend that kind of money on that kind of thing. But, you know, hey, I understand that it's a big deal for some people. You know, I don't want to spend a couple of bucks to go see the Thing in Dragoon. I'm not about to go spend 50 bucks for a Noah's Ark replica, okay? I just, you know, just not kind of our thing. Well, Kentucky's had a lot of rain recently, and the Noah's Ark park is actually involved in a lawsuit because they've had so much rain, part of it washed away, part of their entryways and so forth washed away. So they sued the people that made them because the Noah's Ark replica couldn't handle the rain. Now, if you have trouble understanding who you are, what you're about, you know, if you're a replica for Noah's Ark, rain should not be a problem. And if you're going to sue somebody because your Noah's Ark replica can't handle the rain, maybe you're forgetting the whole story. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes Christians kind of forget who we are, what's going on, and what we're about. And, by the way, you can buy keychains in the gift shop. Another pet peeve about those kind of places. Who am I? Well, we've talked about being a child of God. I like that. Talked about being a new creation. Old things passed away. I'm new. Talked about being a branch. He is the vine, but we are the branches. Talked about being a friend of Jesus. I like this one, being set free. And today, we're looking at being an heir of Christ. What it means to inherit, to be an heir of Christ, to be an inheritor. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. This is part of Paul's easy primer to the gospel book. Not quite. Another one of Paul's lengthy run-on sentences and incredibly complex sentence structure. But it's Paul. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. He says, because we're under obligation, because we are heirs, we are under obligation to live by the Spirit. We are under obligation. When I was in high school, I had a couple of friends named Warren, their last name. Their father was Colonel Warren. He was a colonel of the United States Air Force in everything that that meant, the way he talked, the way he carried himself, the way he reacted. Occasionally treated his sons like junior airmen. It was kind of interesting. But we would often, the three of us, get together and do things together as teenagers are like to do. You know, We would hang out, whatever that means. We would go to church events together, and often we would ride together on things because James had a driver's license, and myself and the younger one did not, so James often was the driver for us. And so, back in the day when McDonald's hamburgers were under a dollar, if that puts it in place. But every time we left their house, when Colonel Warren was home, he would look at his sons. He'd ignore me completely, but he'd look at his sons and say, "Boys, remember who you are." He never told me to remember who I was. He didn't care who I was. And so I asked his sons, "What does that mean? Your dad says that every time. What does that mean, remember who you are?" And James says, "Why don't you ask Dad? He will explain it to you very carefully." And me not being stupid enough to miss a setup when one was given to me, the next time we were at his house, I said, "Colonel Warren?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Can you explain to me what you mean when you tell your sons, remember who you are?" He stood up. I knew I was in trouble then. He said, "Well, boy, let me explain it to you." I don't know where "boy" fit in under airman, but it was way down the list somewhere. And he explained how he wanted them to remember that they shared his last name, and that they shared it with him and with his father before him and his father before him, and there was a legacy attached to their name. That no matter what happened, they would come home and they would still be a Warren, but they needed to make sure they didn't do anything that caused disrepute to fall upon his name and their name. And then he described how they weren't living on base at the time, but most of their lives they lived on base. And when you live on base and the boys get in trouble, the dad's career takes the hit. And so he wanted them to remember that they were sons of a colonel in the United States Air Force. And that meant something to him. And it had better mean something to those boys. And then he explained to them how the car they were driving had his name on the title. And he went into a, did I mention, lengthy explanation about what that meant to be driving a car that was in their father's name. And he said, "So I've just explained to them as they're growing up through the years all of these things, and so they understand what I mean when I say, remember who you are. Don't you, boys?" And they both said, "Yes, sir." And we got outside, and I says, "What happens if you guys mess up?" And he says, "We don't want to know. We're scared to ever find out." Which is why my parents let me hang out with the Warren boys, because they knew Colonel Warren, too. And so it was, he knew who he was, and those boys understood the obligation they had to live under their father's name. And part of being a joint heir with Christ means that we're under an obligation to live like we're under his name, like we carry the name of Jesus Christ wherever we go. That they call us Christians, not just as a derivative comment like they meant in Antioch when they first used that term, but because it identifies us with who we serve. That we carry his name. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are fellow heirs with Christ. We need to live by the Spirit because we are under obligation to live by the Spirit because we are together with him in what we inherit. We live by the Spirit. And what that means, the Scripture says, is that we put to death the deeds of the flesh. In our lives, we look around our lives and we put to death the lust and the greed and the envy and the prejudice and the hatred that is so much a part of death that we put them aside, we put them to death, and we lay them aside because that is the old way of doing things. And we now live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We live by obligation rather than by lust. We live by the Spirit. Then he described that we have a spirit of adoption. He mentions this as not of slavery. Because what would often happen in the Roman culture was that if parents died and you had these little kids running around and there was no family to take them in, what would often happen is someone would come in and say, "I will care for the children." But they weren't doing it out of an altruistic sense of goodness. They're doing it because that kid will make a good worker and I can get some good work out of him in exchange for room and board. Called slavery. And so it describes that as Christians, we have a spirit of adoption, not a slavery kind of adoption, but an adoption where we have been grafted into the branch. Where God has made room for us in His home. We have three kids. Third one was a bit of a surprise. We like her, but she was a bit of a surprise. We had room for two. Third one comes along, and we made room for her. In fact, after a while, she got her own room. First kid we ever let paint her own room. I think she was 25, but still. What adoption does. She was natural birth, but if you adopt a kid, you make room for them in your family. You make room for them in your home. You don't say, "Here's the laundry room, you sleep in here." You make room for them like one of your own. And that's what God says when He adopts us in a spirit of adoption, when we receive into His home in a spirit of adoption as a joint heir, is that He makes room for us. In fact, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall be with you." And He spent over 2,000 years making that place for us. He made the world as beautiful as it is in 6 days. I can't imagine how beautiful the heaven will be that He has made a home. Because we have been adopted into His home. And He says, we cry out, "Abba, Father." Abba is an Aramaic word. Best translation we have in English is Daddy. Not even the dad of the upright standing high school kid. But the daddy of the little bitty kid that's still glad to see you come home. You remember when the kids were little, they were glad to see you come home? Okay? Dogs are like that. Dogs are always glad to see you come home. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've been doing, you come home, and that dog is glad to see you. Little kids are like that. "Daddy, daddy, daddy." Wait till they're teenagers. "What? Who? Huh? Turn that music down." "What?" You know, it's just not the same. But the word that Jesus uses to describe that adoption is that word like the little kid that's glad to see his dad come home. "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And excited. That's being a joint heir. And He says there's an inward testimony of His Spirit and our spirit that we know in here that we're together with God. You ever talk to somebody that's been in a lot of foster homes? Talk to somebody that's been in a lot of different foster homes and they kind of run together after a while, but they usually remember the real good ones and they remember the real bad ones. And they know who's who from each one. And if a kid's been in a lot of foster homes, by the time they're 16, 17-year-old, they're kind of jaded, and everywhere they go, they know it's just kind of a stepping place, and they realize they're not getting a forever home. I want you to remember back when Charlie and Matthew were adopted. We're at Pastor's Pals, and well, Matthew was talking about his adoption, and Charlie looks at us and says, in a few months, I get to be a Tatum too. Because he knew he found that forever home. That's what we are as joint heirs. We know in here we found that forever home. We have received a spirit of adoption. And it's beautiful. And then he says, we are heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. And that means two things that he listed here. The first thing he says is that means we suffer with him. You know, if you're adopted in the family, when the family has hard times, you have hard times. When the family has good times, you have good times. And what happens to the family happens to you, and you become a part of it. And so he says, we suffer with him as joint heirs with Christ. And he said this before he went to the cross. But certainly when you look at the turmoil and agony that all of those who are with him went through when he was on the cross, you understand the idea of suffering with him. And you understand that being a part of the family of God, it's not always wonderful, that often there's suffering involved. When someone we love is taken and we miss them, there's suffering involved. When someone we love is hurting and in sickness and in pain and we love them, we suffer with them because we are joint heirs together. Someone says, you get a part of a small group and it hurts too much because you get too close to people. That's what happens. It's part of being adopted as an inheritance that you suffer with them. But then he says, you also are glorified with him. Both the good and the bad. We had our cousins come visit us once. Aunt and uncle and cousins come visit us. We're living in Albuquerque. We're in Kentucky. So we're taking them around and showing them all the different sites you can see. And New Mexico's got a lot of good places to see. And we went out to eat a lot to some fancy restaurants we didn't go to very often. And I asked my mom, why are we doing so many fun things while they're here? And she says, because they're just here for a couple of days. And then they're going back home. I said, oh, then we go back to normal, huh? And mom says, no, we go back the other way for a few weeks because we've spent so much money while they're here, we're going to have to cut back as soon as they're gone. Because we're a part of the family. When it went good, it went good. But when it went slim and bad, it went slim and bad. We part of the family. We were the family. We weren't just visiting from out of town. We are heirs. Suffer with him. Be glorified with him. We are joint heirs with Christ. There's another concept of inheritance. And that concept is, it's not all realized yet. Showed the kids the sheepskin, the great sheepskin. Part of Dad's household that he got rid of because he moved out of a three-bedroom house into a two-bedroom assisted living apartment. So that means 75% of his stuff had to go. And Dad let go of his things. And some of them he passed on to his kids. And I got a rug. And when I opened it, by the way, when they mail that kind of thing, it comes in this big bulky package. It was kind of funny when I opened it. I went, oh, the sheepskin. Knew exactly what it was and where it came from. Kind of cool, I thought. Charlotte thought of me to make sure I got it. But that's a reminder that Dad's getting up there in years, and that before too long, we'll be talking about whatever inheritance is left for real. Because inheritance has only come when the person dies. But if I'm a joint heir with Christ, Christ has already died. And so we get to enjoy the benefits of our inheritance right now. And we need to make sure that we don't tarnish the legacy of what it means to be a joint heir. Because an heir also means responsibility. Wrap up an estate, to remember right and remember well, and to not tarnish the legacy of what has gone before. And so we need to live a life that's marked by the Spirit so we don't tarnish the legacy of the person we inherit with. That Jesus Christ is glorified because of how we live. Because we are joint heirs with Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us not to tarnish the legacy. Help us to serve you, to follow you, and make a real difference before you. Help us, Father, to remember who we are as we leave this place, that we belong to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray.